Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Praise be to God. Dear Lord, give me the wisdom to focus not on the distractions of the moment, but on the priorities that matter today and every day, Father. Guide my thoughts and guard my heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. Him
and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set them on my way and I won't. Set them on my way. Ooh, set them on my way. I gotta keep on.
Y'all.
Well, I'm losing.
Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Dear Lord, I will place my hope in you. If I become discouraged, I will turn to you. If I am afraid, I will seek you. I will seek strength in you. In every aspect of my life, I will trust you. You are my Father, and I will place my hope, my trust, and my faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. And now, it is time for our devotional message for this evening. And the title of this message is The Hindrance of Unbelief. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. And it says, they were not able to enter because of unbelief. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Do you trust that God speaks with you about every area of your life? Do you truly believe that he still communicates today? That he interacts with you personally and helps you with the issues you care about deeply? We may all desire to respond, yes, absolutely, to such questions. Perhaps we would even agree scripture provides us with moral guidelines for living. But there are many Christians who don't truly believe that God speaks. And they show they don't by their actions. So when the Father communicates with them personally about some crucial matter of their lives, they do not obey him. They ignore his prompting, either because it's too costly or because they're afraid. But at its core, this is unbelief. Doubt concerning the Lord's character and wisdom. And it's a sin. Friend, may it be very challenging when what God reveals to you does not make sense or frightens you in some way. But just because you do not comprehend or like the Lord's plan doesn't give you a right to doubt it. The Lord God speaks. The Lord God is speaking to you. If you want to walk in his will, you will have to push past your doubt and fear and step out in faith. Amen. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, help us trust you even when it's costly and we are afraid. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection.
Pray in the afternoon.
be to God. Dear Lord, today I will ask you for the things I need. In every circumstances, in every seasons of life, I will come to you in prayer. You know the desires of my heart. Lord, grant them, I ask. Yet not my will, Father, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you, because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. Everything is going wrong, and you don't know how you'll make it through. You tried and you tried so hard to be a good neighbor. They took your kindness for weakness and didn't return your favor.
Thank you.
El Chassidy means God of mercy. You know how I am formed. You remember that I am dust. In your loving kindness, you show me mercy. From everlasting to everlasting, your love is with those who fear you, and your righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep your covenant. God of mercy, you show favor to your people, and you have restored many from captivity. You have forgiven our iniquity and covered all of our sin. In your mercy, you have withdrawn your fury and turned away from your burning anger. Surely your salvation is near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our hearts and in our land. Your loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And for that, we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
That's right. Everybody got around.
El Bethel, abide in me. Set up your home in the depths of my soul. Let your words dwell in me, that I may know and live by them. And for you, reveal to me the sin I must confess and turn from, so that I may be pure and blameless in your sight. Show me how to best honor you through this temple you have set up within me. Guide me in my eating habits, in my entertainment choices, and even in what I wear, so that as your house, Bethel, I may glorify you in all I do. Grant me the discernment to know how to reflect your will, you well. Amen. Praise be to God.
Needs to grow word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs to grow word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This device is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyle. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. For the child, if you spare the rod, teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the proverb that was spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
be a blip sometime. Seems like as soon as you get one step forward, it'll knock you back three steps. Listen here.
You might be feeling that life is getting you down. Like dreaming you're falling and you don't want to hit the ground. No, no. You're wondering when your ship will come in, sitting on the dock of the bay, but you just can't.
Which means God of mercy. El Chastity, in your mercy and compassion, you have given me great and powerful promises. You enable me to share your divine nature and escape the world's corruption and the consequences of following my fleshy desires. Your mercy equips me to live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Through the gift of your mercy, grant me peace of mind and heart so I will not be troubled or afraid. Your gift is from above, and it is not as the world gives. It is everlasting, and it is authentic. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection, two selections, and then we will go into our word.
And is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Amen.
Amen.
He's able. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I come to let you know that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able, yeah. Oh, I come to let you know, oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yeah. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of the power, he is able. Yes. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God is able. Yeah, 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 yeah. I came to let you know. Whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
that my God is able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger.
Your neighbor, tell him he's able. Come on, say he's able. He's able. Say able. Say able. Say able. Say able. Able, you see. Oh, able.
Able.
Able. No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God is able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yes, able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Oh, I know, I can't let.
God is able.
Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship. We worship you, you able Lord, you able Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's chapter 7. That's Matthew's chapter 7, and we are going to read verses 24 through 29. Amen. That's Matthew's chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And it says, this is Jesus speaking. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood's waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a high crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So you see, the two lies Jesus compares at the end of the Sermon on the Mount have several points in common. They both hear Jesus teaching, and they both experience the same set of circumstances in life. The difference between them isn't caused by ignorance, but by one ignoring what Jesus said. Externally, their lives may look similar, but the lasting structural differences will be revealed by the storms of life. The immediate difference in your life when you follow Jesus may not be obvious, but eventually they will turn out to affect even your external destiny. To what degree does your life reflect the directions Jesus gave in this sermon? Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, you have taught us to love one another as you have loved us. Help us tonight to see that many of your best gifts to us are the people who you put in our lives. We are your people, and you have made us to be friends. May our friendship always strengthen one another and bring glory to you, great God of gifts. We bring our gifts to you this evening. Much of what we have and now give is made possible through the help and encouragement of the friends you have given to us. Help us to be worthy friends to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. It was front page news. Two houses in Arlington, Texas that had been built overlooking the Trinity River lost their backyards when after days of heavy rain. They began to slide down into the river. Flooding had occurred in the low areas. The people who lived on the cliff probably felt secured from the flood, but they had not counted on the silent erosion of their entire backyards. We can imagine what they must have felt as all the work they had invested in those houses started to slide down into the river. They were forced to leave their homes in fear that next their back porches and then their entire houses would disappear into the river bottom. Many kinds of enemies, often unseen ones, eat away at the foundation, not only of our houses, but of our homes. The financial investments we have in our houses is not all that is threatened. The very survival of our families is vulnerable. To paraphrase a common scripture verse in Mark 8 and 36 in the NIV says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their family? But just as surely as there are enemies of the family, there are also certain friends of the family. Jesus not only taught us what to guard against, but what to embrace. He not only taught us what to do, but he helps us see how to do it. In today's scripture reading, Jesus gave us the clues we need for building healthier families. Amen. Praise be to God. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. And my text for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 in the NIV Bible says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Amen. And my title for this message, Friends of the Family. Friends of the Family. Praise be to God. God's word is a friend of the family. Jesus said that if we hear his words and do them, we will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. In Matthew 7 and 24. We almost always interpret this verse as an admonition for personal ethics. But it is also applies to building healthy families. The words of scripture scripture gives us a strong authority base for making decisions in our families. Some families make decisions about what they will allow their children to do by calling the neighbors to find out what they are doing, what they are going to let their children do. Many families decided their spending priorities by watching what their neighbors buy. Now, excuse me. Now, people who decide what is appropriate and inappropriate simply by taking the popular temperature get into trouble quickly. They are like the man who built his house on the sand. Every wind and storm that comes shakes them to their foundation. But those who build their families on the written word of God have a strong foundation for the building of their lives together. We have to be cautious. Though, if we build our homes on the word of God, we must be careful to interpret the word correctly. Scripture can be taken out of context and have devastating consequences. For example, it could empower a husband to be a tyrant without reminding him of his responsibilities to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Now, God's word is not to be used as a hammer to beat other people down, but to foster throughout concern for one another and sacrificial compassion for each member of the family. So God's word provides the family with the standard against which to examine issues and to make full moral and equitable decisions. Here are four of Jesus' precepts that apply especially to the family. Amen. A is forgiveness. In Matthew 6 and 12, Jesus said that when we pray, we should pray to be forgiven in the same way that we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. In Matthew 18:22, Jesus said that we are to forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Nothing is more devastating to a home than old hurts and offenses that have not been forgiven. If we make forgiveness a priority in our family and forgive even when it isn't easy to forgive, we will be able to withstand the storms. It is especially important that we forgive our parents for the times they were not able or willing to be the parents we needed them to be. Many families are still torn apart because of misunderstandings related to wills and inheritance. The ironic truth is that those who are hurt most by an unforgiving spirit are not those who are unforgiven, but those who will not forgive. Amen. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 20. That's Matthew chapter 5, and let us read 14, 17, 25. Again, that is Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, and it says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remembered that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go. Be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." Amen. Praise be to God. B is love. Matthew 5:43-46. So turn with me to Matthew 5:43-46. And it says, Jesus is still speaking, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much." Amen. And that's love. Jesus made it clear that his followers are to love their enemies as well as their friends. Sadly, we often find it difficult to love even within the family. Jesus provided us with the directions we need. The Apostle Paul picked up on Christ's strong example of love in Ephesians 5:25. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. When Christ lives in us, we begin to discover resources for a love that can give itself away. As we prayerfully remember how our Lord has loved us, he will create in us the energy to love those around us. The best definition of this kind of love is found in 1 Corinthians 13. Here we discover excellent guidelines for showing love within the family. Praise be to God. Faithfulness in Matthew 5:27 through 30. Faithfulness. And it says, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Amen. The fabric of the family is a tightly woven material. Extramarital affairs introduces into the marriage relationship tear it apart. Jesus called the Christian family to fertilize, to fertility, and to a love that keeps the eyes focused on each other. The physical love relationship between the mother and the father is absolutely essential for a healthy family. Indeed, the best gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. And D, the supremacy of God. Matthew 22:37 says, because the family is so significant and can bring us so much happiness, we may be inclined to worship our family and elevate it to a place only God ought to have. Matthew 10:37-39 reminds us of the absolute primacy of our allegiance to God. He must come before all other allegiance in life, even before our loyalty to family. As important as the family is to Christian life, it is not the ultimate for us. Praise be to God. And those are the four things, the four of Jesus' precepts that applied especially to family. Amen. Which is forgiveness, love, faithfulness, and supremacy of God. The church is a friend of the family. When Jesus described the founding of his church, he spoke of building it on a rock, Matthew 16:18. As we consider Jesus' parable about the wise builder who built on the rock, we remember that he took his own teaching to heart. Praise God. The house he built, the church, is the second great friend to your family. It is the place where God's word is taken seriously and authoritatively. A man who had not been as active as he ought to have been in his church said to his pastor, "The church has been a great gift to my family. Even in those times when I wasn't doing what I should have been doing, the church ministered to my children. The reason my children are what they are today is because of the adult friends and the peers of my children who knew them and cared for them within the life of this congregation. The church has been the most important institution for my family." Amen. The church provides needed support through the many relationships it makes possible for its families. Older families become a model for the younger families. This witness helps the younger families make decisions and plan how they want to raise their children and build their families. Older families are strengthened as they provide guidance for younger families. When a family knows there are younger families who believe in them and admire them, they are encouraged to be faithful to the Lord and to the task of building the finest families they can. Amen. Praise be to God. All families are helped by their peer families. Knowing that we are part of a whole body of people who are sharing the same joys and struggling with the same concerns gives us courage to press forward and not give up. All kinds of families find a place of belonging in the church. The church is a place of refuge for those who are mentally and physically impaired. It provides a family for those who have no family of their own. It also offers a network of support to families broken by death or divorce. The church stands beside them as the hurts and are healed and as God helps them begin again. Families need friends who have the same goals. We tend to adopt the standards, goals, attitudes, and ambitions of our friends. Friends shape our futures. One of the best gifts a church can give to a young couple is a place where they can meet couples their age and make lasting friendships that will be a bulwark of encouragement and support through the years. Praise God. Hallelujah. The church helps families learn how to worship together. As family worship in church Sundays after Sundays, they learn how to praise God and rejoice in his creation outside the church. Worship becomes a natural part of daily living. Children who learn how to worship in church and outside in the beauty of God's world are prepared for a lifelong application of God's power and majesty. They become more sensitive to the transcendent dimension that overarches all of life. The community can be a friend of the family. Christians should want to support good schools and teachers who care. A stable community and honest government are the products of people who are willing to get involved. The library's medical resources, fat marriages, enrichment opportunities, and cultural activities in a community are all important to the health of family life in the city. Christian people are doing God's work for families when they reinforce positive and healthy attitudes in their local communities. Praise be to God. So you see, Christ here shows that it will not be enough to own him for our master, only in word and tongue. It is necessary to our happiness that we believe in Christ, that we repent of sin, that we live a holy life, that we love one another. This is his will. Even our sanctification, let us take heed of resting in our outward privileges and doings, lest we deceive ourselves and perish eternally as multitudes do. With a lie in our right hand, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from all sin. There are others whose religions rest in bare hearing, and it goes no further. Their heads are filled with empty notions. These two sorts of hearers are represented as two builders. This parable teaches us to hear and do the saying of the Lord Jesus. Some may seem hard to flesh and blood, but they must be done. Christ is laid for a foundation, and everything besides Christ is sand. Some build their hopes upon worldly prosperity, others upon an outward profession of religion, upon these very ventures, but they are all sand, too weak to bear such a fabric as our hopes of heaven. There is a storm coming that will try every man's work. When God takes away the soul, where is the hope of the hypocrites? The house fell in the storm when the builders had most need of it and expected would be a shelter to him. It fell when it was too late to build another. May the Lord make us wise builders for eternity. Then nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. The multitudes were astonished at the wisdom and power of Christ's doctrine. And this sermon, ever so often read over, is always new. Every word provides its author to be divine. Let us be more and more decided and earnest, making some one or others of these blessedness and Christian grace the main subject of our thoughts, even for weeks together. Let us not rest in general and confuse desires after them, whereby we grasp at all, but catch nothing. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say that healthy families are no accident. They are built under the authority of God's word, in the fellowship of his church, and in a community where people encourage one another in healthy living. Let's build our families on the sure foundation, our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it is unto me. To God be the glory. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask and pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you to a good Bible-based church where you can finish your Christian walk with Christ. Amen? And my benediction this evening is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you. And heaven smile upon you until we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend and stay safe, everyone. And always, always love one another and pray for each other. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. We love you. And shalom, everybody. Good night. God bless.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship, belongs to you.
you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
Trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God. You can't hurry. Carry on.